Names are important. They are very important. In Proverbs 22:1, it says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. And from the very beginning, a name said something about a person. In Genesis chapter 2, 19 through 20, we're going to kind of go through the Old Testament real quick here. Genesis 2, 19 through 20, we read, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So we have this story at the beginning that God thought it was important that things had names, and he chose this man, the first creation, the man, to name these animals. And throughout that whole paragraph, we just have reference of the man. And then finally, in the next sentence, we have, but for Adam, no suitable helper was found. And that's not really all that unusual, because Hebrew, the Hebrew word for the man, is Adam. And we know that Adam was created out of the dust of the ground, and the Hebrew word for the ground is Adamah. And so we have the word Adam, the man, coming from the ground. And these are names that were given to him by God. Very important. In Genesis, the third chapter, verses 20, we have Adam naming his helpmate, names her Eve, because she is to be called the mother of all living. In Genesis 17 and 5, we have Abram, which means exalted father. God changed his name after he made a promise to him and changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many. In Genesis 17 and 15, Sarai, meaning mother, was changed to Sarah, which means mother of all nations, according to the same promise that God had promised Abraham. In Genesis, the 25th chapter, in verses, in Genesis 17 chapter, 17th chapter, verse 19, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, there was another promise made to them. They were going to have a son at 100 years old and 90 years old. And if you remember the reaction of Abraham, he fell down on the ground and he did what? He laughed, right? And, of course, God always gets the last laugh. And he said, you shall name him Isaac, which means he laughed. And so for the rest of Abraham's life, he had a son, which reminded him of how he responded to God's promise. In Genesis, the 25th chapter, verses 24 through 30, Jacob has a son named Esau. And we have two stories that go along with Esau. We know when he was born, it says he came out, he was all like a hairy garment, a red hairy garment. And later on, he sells his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of red stew. And Esau's other name, of course, then was Edom, which means red. In Genesis 29 and 26, there was a son, another son, who came close on the heel of Esau, literally. He came out as a twin and was grasping onto the heel of Esau as he came out. And so he was named Jacob, which means grasp the heel. These names are all significant of things in their life. He didn't have that name for very long. In Genesis, the 35th chapter, verses 28, we know Jacob spent the night wrestling with the man of God, trying to force a blessing out of him. And he succeeded. He succeeded in this. And his name was changed to Israel, which means wrestles with God. Jacob's name didn't actually change all that much. From grasp the heel to Israel, which means wrestles with God. In the Genesis, the 30th chapter, verse 24, Rachel, if you remember, Rachel was Jacob's wife, and she couldn't have children. And she finally was allowed to have her first child, and her first child's name was Joseph. And she was very ecstatic about this. And so she named him Joseph, which means add to me another, or he adds. And, of course, this request of Joseph's name was given to Rachel in Genesis, the 35th chapter, and in the 18th verse. And it was a prayer answered, but it was also sometimes a prayer that gets answered that can be sad. Because she was given another son, but in childbirth, of course, she passes away. She dies. And in her last breath, she names him Ben-Oni, which means son of my trouble. And she passes away. This might have been too much for Jacob to bear, to think about this for the rest of his life. Rachel, the wife that he loved dearly, passing away. And so he quickly renames the son instantly, names him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. And if you remember the story with Jacob and Joseph, when Jacob thought Joseph was dead, the sons that he loved because of they were born to Rachel, very rarely did Jacob let Benjamin leave his right hand. He kept Benjamin close to his side and would not let him go astray. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, we have Pharaoh's daughter, and Pharaoh's daughter pulls this baby out of the Nile, and she names him Moses, because Moses means drawn out of the water. In Numbers, the 13th chapter, verse 16, there's a person by the name of Hoshea, son of Nun. That's if you read in the King James. In the NIV, they put an H onto it, so it's Hoshea. And we all know that his name gets changed, or it's not totally changed, but it's just a variant of that name by Moses. Moses calls him Joshua. And Joshua, Hoshea, means salvation, because Joseph led the children into the promised land. In 1 Samuel 1:20, another story that's close to Ginger and my heart, is the story of Hannah, who was struggling having children. And she prayed to God, and God gave her a child. And that child's name was Samuel, because Hannah had prayed and asked God for him. And that's what Samuel means. It means asked of God, or I asked the Lord for him, which is, of course, the middle name of our third son. So Hoshea Samuel altogether means salvation, asked of God. That's the significance of the name that we came up with for him. In Daniel, the first chapter, verse 6, we have a great story, which I've used several times in many talks, because I think it's a fascinating story, about four names. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. One of those names is real familiar with us because it's the book, Daniel. But the other three names sometimes we forget, because we actually sing a song about the names that they were changed to. All of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they all end in E-L or A-H, as a lot of the other names that I've already mentioned do. That's because A-H on the ending, or E-L, is a reference to God. It has God in your name. So that's a good name to have. And of course, the Babylonians didn't want people to be following those gods or anything to remind people of the true Jehovah, the true God. And so they changed all of their names to Canaanite, or to Babylonian gods, I should say. Daniel became Belteshazzar. Hananiah became Shadrach. Mishael became Meshach. And Azariah became Abednego. And it partially worked. We still sing these names of these Nebuchadnezzar God, or these Babylonian gods still today. We have this, that we know that their names got changed, and we are familiar with those names even more so than we are familiar with the godly names that were given to them by their parents. This brings us to the New Testament, where we have a name above all names, the name that is to be reverenced above all names. And we can look in two different places for that, in Matthew the first chapter, or Luke the first chapter. I'd like to look at Luke, actually we'll go to Matthew here in a little bit, but I'd like to look at Luke first, Luke 1, 26 through 33, where we have God sending his angel Gabriel, which means strong man of God, in case you want to know, sends his angel Gabriel to a little town called Nazareth. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So we have an interesting name. We have a new name, a name that had been prophesied about in the Old Testament, in the language of Hebrew, and in the New Testament, we have the language of the Greeks. And in the in both, we have this reference to who we call the Anointed One. The Anointed One. The King. That was to come. And in the Old Testament, the word for the Anointed One, he was prophesied to come, is called the Messiah. Jesus is asked, "Are you the Messiah? Were you the Messiah that was prophesied?" And in the New Testament, in the Greek, the word for the Messiah is the Christ. The Christ. The Christ child who was the Messiah. I know we've had confusion in this, I think. I've heard little kids talk about Jesus' last name is Christ. Jesus Christ. He was born to the Christ family. Joseph and Mary Christ. This is not the way it is. This is a reference to the Christ. They ask, are you the Christ? And people that believed that he was called him Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah, the one that was promised to come. He is the Anointed One. That's what the Christ means. Of course, in this passage it says that he was to be called Jesus. That is a Greek name. We're in the New Testament. Jesus is the Greek name, and a lot of times I think we would kind of shy away from naming our child Jesus, wouldn't we? We kind of would feel a little strange about that. Not so for some of us, because the Hebrew for Jesus is what? Hoshea. Or, just so that I'm not the only one here, Joshua. Okay? So, not just me, but Mike and Cindy did it too. Okay, we've named our children after our Savior, after Jesus. Hoshea and Joshua is the Hebrew, and Jesus is the Greek term. And of course, both of these mean what? Salvation. Salvation. In Jesus, we find salvation. In Matthew, the first chapter, in the 21st verse, kind of another reference to this same event, it said, this is Gabriel talking to Joseph, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." That was why they received that name. That's why Jesus received that name, because he would save the people from their sins. The name of Jesus saves. Salvation is found in that name. Do you believe that? It's important that you believe that. Because we are living in a society that is getting away from that and does not understand that anymore. And you don't have to go very many places in the scriptures to see that this name is the name. It is the only way to God. It is the name. And we have a current president, and if you're mad about that, I'm going to criticize him. I'm going to criticize the former president too in a little bit. We have a current president that has referenced the Holy Quran. Apparently he believes the Quran is a holy book. And it doesn't mention Jesus as being the Son of God, the name that we are to adhere to. He's also mentioned that there are all different ways to God, as did his predecessor, the last president. That there are multiple ways to God. That is Satan saying that. There are not multiple ways to God. There are not. There's only one way, and there's only one name through which salvation comes. You might not believe me. I'm a nobody. I'm going to read some passages. Let's see what the scriptures have to say on this. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Of course, this is Paul. This is what Paul has, maybe put a little bit more stock in what Paul has to say. Paul calls Jesus Christ our mediator. It says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. This is what Paul says. Paul says there's only one way to God, and God wants you to know who that is. God wants you to know the truth. And that truth is that Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, is the way to him. He is the mediator. We don't have access to God unless it's through him. That is the only way we can get to God. Let's see what the prophets have to say. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. It says, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That's how you receive forgiveness of sins, through his name. This is what the prophets said. The prophets referred to the Messiah and said, through his name, we will receive forgiveness of sins. Acts chapter 4:12. Let's see what Peter says. Acts chapter 4:12. Peter says, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's pretty straightforward, what Peter says. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name, no matter how many names come after him. And a lot of names have popped up since the time of Christ, haven't they? There is no other name that salvation is found through. No other name has ever been given under heaven by God to men through which salvation is possible. Now, you might not believe Paul. You might not believe the prophets. You might not even believe Peter here. Peter was pretty close to Christ. But you might not believe them, and surely you don't have to believe me. I'm nothing compared to these men and these prophets. But what would you believe what Jesus has to say? Let's go to the name and see what he has to say on this subject himself. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what Jesus said. It's very plain. It's clear. It's in the Scriptures. Now, how do we answer things when we're out there in society, when we hear things like that there are multiple ways to God? Is that what Jesus said? Did Jesus ever say there are multiple ways to God? No. Jesus was very firm on this issue. There's only one way, and it's through me. I am God's Son. And Christ purchased that right for us to go through him. Now, this is a problem in our society. We're going to have problems with this. How can the entire Islam faith, which doesn't go through this name, goes through another name? What do we say in response to that? How can they be saved? Can they be saved according to what Jesus himself has said here in John 14, 6? We have a message that we need to send. And that message is that the name of Christ is the only way that salvation can happen. It's the only way. There are not multiple ways to God. And we need to be very careful that we don't send that message to people. We need people to understand there is one name, only one name, through which salvation can happen. We must wear the name of Jesus Christ to be saved. We must wear that name. In Acts, the 11th chapter, verse 26, remember it says that they were first called Christians at the church of Antioch. They were first called Christians. It was the new name that was prophesied that people would wear, the name of Christ. We would wear that name. And we're called Christians today because we wear the name of Christ and we know that the salvation is only through that name. What is the name of the church? Are there acceptable names? There are different ways you could put the phrase together and they have acceptable names. But what did Christ tell Peter? He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Whose church is it? It's Christ's church. When you buy a house, you put your name on the deed. When you purchase a house, you put your name on the deed. Christ purchased the church with his blood. It was a very high price. And he put his name on the deed. We are his name. We put our name on us. Romans 16:16 is a very clear reference to what the churches were called at that time. It says, the churches of Christ salute you. We are part of Christ's church, the churches of Christ. We must be a member of a church that belongs to Christ, a church that wears the name of Christ. Does it have to be in that phrase, the church of Christ? No, it doesn't. I would be fine if we called our church Jesus' church, the Messiah's church, Christ's church. There's possibilities. The point is that we have to be part of a church that wears the name of Christ. And I would feel really bad if I was part of a church that did not, that put some other name on the church building that we met with each other. Some other name, some human name, not some name of that we are supposed to have of Christ. Do you find it strange that in this society, it doesn't seem too far back in my lifetime, and I'm a very, very young 40. Doesn't seem too far very back where I wouldn't have to, that I wouldn't have to worry about saying yes, that salvation is in Jesus only. But now, in certain places, I could be called a hater. I could be called a person that's intolerant. I'm intolerant because I say that you can't find salvation in any other name. Persecution, I believe, is coming for us in that realm. Are we going to stand up? And are we going to say that, yes, I'm sorry, but Jesus himself said it. The prophets said it. Peter said it. Paul said it. It's everywhere that there is salvation only in one name. We need to be able to stand up, and I hope we don't think that's strange, that we're going to be persecuted for that belief. I'd like to end with 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. We discussed a lot of this at the last teen study, and we had some really good discussion. I believe this was the passage that was brought up by one of the Bible students. I'm not sure which one. I wish I remembered, so I give credit, because I'm going to end with this, because I think this is the best scripture for this. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Praise God that you bear that name. Be proud of that name and wear it openly for people to see. When you pray in public, make sure that you pray in the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus told me that I can get all things if I just ask for it in his name. It's about his name. This is where salvation is. Do you wear his name this morning? Do you wear his name? If you want salvation, it's the only way. You must put on that name, and we put on that name by being baptized into his name. This is how we are to do it. This is how Jesus led by an example to do it. Salvation is only found in him. Put on the name of Christ through baptism and let Jesus take your name and write it in the book of life this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song.